Interest in your prayers. Have a desire to speak to you from the first chapter of the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel. The first chapter of the first book of Samuel, if you'd like to turn there. I'd like to talk to you this morning about Hannah's prayers. Hannah's prayers. There's actually two prayers that are recorded right here. And may we glean some light as we look at this. May the Lord bless us to glorify and praise Him. It starts off and it tells us about her husband, Elkanah. And it talks about the priest, Eli. And it says that he had two wives. Verse 2 says he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. And the other was Penina. And Hannah had no children. And Hannah desired to have children. Yet she had no children. Yet Penina did. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship her husband. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship, to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And we can read on and we can see that the sons of Eli were wicked sons. How that they would take the sacrifices that were being offered and they would take them oftentimes for themselves. It says, and when the time that Elkanah offered, he gave unto Penina, his wife, and unto all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Now we understand that the Lord is sovereign. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's not only sovereign in our salvation, not only sovereign in saving His people, but the Lord is sovereign in how He works even yet today. Amen. If the Lord sees fit to deliver us, He's sovereign in that. If the Lord sees fit to heal us, He's sovereign in that. The Lord is sovereign, and we should not question the sovereignty of the Lord. He's not only sovereign in saving us, He's sovereign in providing for us, He's sovereign in keeping us. And does He not keep us and provide for us far better than what we actually deserve? Amen. He says that the Lord had shut up the womb of Hannah. Hannah desired a child. And so Hannah prays to the Lord. And when we have affliction, when we have trials, that's who we need to go to. Oftentimes we take the easy way and we may go to everybody else before we go to the Lord. And then we go to the Lord. Elder Bartabal used to say, and this would be good for us all to remember. He said, when I get sick, he says, first of all, I go to the Lord and then I go to the doctor. That's a pretty good order that we ought to keep in mind. That we ought to go to the Lord, then go to the doctor. Last week, my grandmother had a stroke at the house. And I called the visiting nurse that we have that's been helping us through the week. And when I called her, I said, could you come out and check grandmother? And she said, no. She said, hang up the phone and dial 911 because you're wasting precious time. So I hung up my end of the phone, but she didn't hang up her end of the phone. And if you've ever been under a situation like that, then you begin to try to dial out, and I couldn't get out. So then I began to holler through the phone, hoping she could hear me, and apparently the phone was not anywhere near where she was. And then I thought about what Elder Bartabal said. He said, go to the Lord first, then go to the doctor. And so that's exactly what we did. May we remember that and go to the Lord first in all of our trials and afflictions in life, and then take the next step. I'm thankful for doctors that the Lord's blessed us with here in time. I'm thankful for the wisdom that doctors have been blessed with, that God has blessed them with. But I'm thankful for our great physician, He says the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary, his wife Penina, and I may not be pronouncing that right. Brother Mike Stewart gave me a book that was much needed, but yet not much used by myself on how to pronounce names, especially in the Old Testament. And it just, I almost have to hear it rather than actually read it and pronounce it out. So maybe you can tell me if I've messed up on this after service. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. I have a sister, naturally speaking, that has desired to have children all of her, even before her married life, but especially since she's been married, desired to have children and not been able to have children. And so just being around her, I can get just a little bit of an understanding of how that Hannah must have felt right here. Yet Hannah not only had this feeling about desiring to have children, but Hannah also was provoked by the lady that her husband was married to that did have children. So not only was it difficult for her that she desired a child, but yet she was being provoked along by her husband's wife as well. It says, and her adversary provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Have you ever been so overwhelmed with sorrow in your life from one thing or one reason or another that you just even lost your appetite? She was so overwhelmed, overwhelmed, and so completely distraught with sorrow that it says that she didn't eat. Now, I've been that way a few times. It's very seldom that I get to the point that I don't feel like eating. But here, she was so sorrowful that she didn't eat. Okay, they went up to the temple. It says they went up to the sacrifice. And then it says, her husband perceived this. Then he said unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved, and am I not better to thee than 10 sons? He recognized her countenance. It's amazing how that when brothers and sisters worship together, when brothers and sisters fellowship together, when brothers and sisters are together often, that you can actually look at the countenance of one of your brothers or sisters in Christ, and it can be as if trouble is written all the way across their forehead. You can perceive, if you actually are fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you can see when they're having a difficult time, when they're having a hard time. You can perceive that. And God, just exactly like a mother or father, naturally speaking, can perceive that with their children. If one of your children are having a difficult time, you can look at their face and you can perceive it just like that, can you not? That's exactly how her husband was with her right here. That's exactly how you and I should be in the house of God, to be able to witness that when our brothers and sisters are having difficult times, that we would perceive that, and may God bless us to help them and be an encouragement along the way. Her countenance was sad. Her countenance was grieved. Her heart was grieved. He says, well, Hannah, I, as your husband, am better to you than 10 sons. Now, if we go over and look in regarding Naomi, if we consider her lot, I believe it was 7 sons that they were better to her than 7 sons. And the thinking was in the Old Testament times that if you had 7 sons or you had 10 sons, that when you became to old age, you didn't have to worry about old age. You were going to be provided for in old age right well if you had 7 sons or had 10 sons, or if you had sons to care for you. And that's they didn't have Social Security back in those days. And so they did depend upon their family to provide for the elder ones. And so what he's saying right here, is that I'm better to you as a husband. I give you a worthy portion. I care for you. My compassion goes to you better than if you had 10 sons. She still was grieved at not having the one son. He said unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou? He perceives that she's grieved. It says, Hannah had rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And it says, now Eli the priest sat on verse 9, sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Have you ever gotten to that point in your own life that you almost could say that you're in bitterness of soul? You may not actually say it. You may realize that you have bitterness toward others. You might even realize that you have anxiety and bitterness toward yourself. But sometimes it goes even further, and we're a bitterness of soul even before the Lord. Now, do you know how not to become a bitter old lady or a bitter old man? Repent of it before you come of old age. If you're bitter in your younger years, or if you're bitter in your mature midlife years, you're going to end up being bitter in your older years. Ephesians talks about that, and he tells us how that we're to put it away from us. And we should do it when God opens our eyes to it and blesses us to see and perceive the bitterness that we have, the bitterness of soul. We should go before the Lord and deal with it before the Lord. If we fail to do it and we carry that bitterness with us, we'll wake up one day and we'll be a bitter old man or a bitter old lady. But God's Word tells us how to deal with it. He says to go before the Lord, and He says cry before the Lord. And the Lord, Hannah went before the Lord, and the Lord heard her prayer. Now, I believe that even if the Lord had not given Hannah a son, that the Lord did give Hannah peace about the situation. But yet He did give Hannah a son. Let's go on down and we'll look. It says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten and after they had drunk. And it says that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. If you're in bitterness of soul, the thing to do is pray before the Lord. If there's something that's been plaguing you for years, if you say, well, that's just my personality, then pray to the Lord. You say, well, I come from a line of ancestors that had sharp tempers. Then definitely pray before the Lord. Hannah was in bitterness, so she was grieved in soul, but yet she knew who to go to. And you and I, we should remember that the one that we go to is the one that's able to help us, Jesus Christ. And she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, I'll give him unto thee, the Lord, all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. The vow of a Nazarite or a Nazarene. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. She said, Lord, remember me. We sing the song, Jesus, thou art the sinner's friend. O Lord, remember me. When I get to heaven, Lord, remember me. When I pass from this life, Lord, remember me. Hannah was praying that right now the Lord would remember her. You see, the good news is the Lord we have is not just the God of our eternal salvation. That He didn't just save us and say, okay, I'll take care of you when you get to heaven. But yet the Lord remembers us right now. Right now. Today. Oh Lord, remember me. The good news is He has us engraved in the palms of His hands. We're secure in the hands of Jesus Christ. Secure in the hands of our eternal Father. And yet He cares for us and loves us and remembers us yet today. Oh Lord, remember me. Forget not Thine handmaid. Forget not Thine servant. Forget not Thine pilgrim. Forget not Thine child. She made a vow and she said, Lord, now consider this. This is not... Consider what she's saying right here. She says, Lord, if You'll bless me with a son, I'll turn around and I'll give my son back to You to use in Your service all the days of his life. She didn't say, I'll wait until he reaches maturity and then we'll take him and dedicate him to You. Or he can serve until he's 50 years old. She said, no, if You'll bless me with a son, I'm going to give him back to You. Says she was so grieved, and this establishes the degree of her grief. It says, Hannah, in verse 13, it says, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Aren't you glad that the Lord knows the inward thoughts? He hears our prayers. He hears the very groanings. And He's not dependent upon the eloquent words that we might attempt to say before Him. He's not impressed with long prayers. He's not impressed with the perfect speech. But the Lord is concerned with what's in the heart. Brother Hayes, who was a wonderful blessing for us at Mount Carmel, the Lord took him on. He had the beginning stages of Alzheimer's. And one Sunday evening, we asked Brother Hayes to close the service in prayer. And he knew well exactly what we were asking. And I'll never forget, he walked up to the front. And he stood up in the front and he bowed his head in prayer. And he prayed silently. Not one word was uttered vocally. But I rejoice to know that the Lord heard his prayer right here. And then he said, Amen. You see, the Lord's not dependent upon the outward vocalness of our prayer. Well, Eli, the priest, and you would have thought that Eli would have known better than to say this, but he thought, when he saw her acting this way, when he saw her countenance, when he saw her lips moving, when he saw the way that the appearance that she had, he said, why, she's a drunken woman. She said, oh, no. And she didn't even become bitter about that. But he says, and it says that Hannah, that she spake in her heart and only her lips moved and her voice was heard not. But it says, Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. Here she's so grieved. Her countenance is to such a degree as she's praying to the Lord. Her mouth is moving, but there's no voice. And so his conclusion is that she's been drinking too much wine. And he says, put away the wine. Put away the wine. Well, let's look at what happens here. She says, no. Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. the prodigal son came to himself. Brother Steve was talking to us about the condition of the churches and the times in which we're living in. We need to be brought to the point that we pour our souls out before the Lord. That all the other things that weighed us down, that all the other things, the hindrances that hinder us along the way, all of those weights that Paul talks about that doth so easily beset us, that all of that would be put to the side, and that we just pour our souls out before the Lord. Hannah said, I'm not a drunken woman. But she said, I am a woman that's of a sorrowful spirit. And she says, I'm pouring my soul out before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for apparently one that would be given to drunkenness or to wine. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou hast asked of him. It's amazing, but what she told him apparently convinced him right there that she wasn't a drunken woman, but that she was a woman that had a great complaint and had much sorrow. He says, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee the petition which thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. I love to be with the Lord's people. And I especially love to be with the Lord's people when they're happy. When you can look at their life and tell that they feel the presence of the Lord in their life. There's a dear old sister, Sister Minnie Goins, and she's 99 years old now. And I tell you, she was wonderful to preach to, because if you had any preach in you at all, she'd just pull it out. She'd sit there and just absolutely, as Elder Mike Goins' grandmother, and she would just soak it up. She would feast on preaching the preaching of the gospel. And it's such a blessing when you're around brothers and sisters in Christ that you know are rejoicing in the Lord. I think of many others. Brother Mark Huffman, that's one. That's a modern-day Sister Goins that we're all familiar with. Brother Mark Huffman, if you're singing hymns, if you're preaching gospel, he's soaking on it. He's feasting upon it. Well, it says that Hannah's countenance was changed. It was changed. She felt the presence of the Lord in her life. It was changed. Haven't you been there yourself? So overwhelmed with sorrow, and then yet filled the blessings of the Lord's Spirit in your life, and it was just almost a flip-flop. You're down in the valley one moment, and way up on the mountaintop another moment. Well, that's exactly what the situation was right here. It says that her countenance was no more sad. Wherefore it came to pass that the time was about that Hannah had conceived, and she bare a son, and she called